Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we have had quite the show already this afternoon. I would highly recommend using the rewind function on the Odyssey app, going back to the 3 o'clock hour. I mean, I had a brilliant monologue, even if it wasn't. I'll tell you, it was a brilliant monologue. But more importantly, we had Rocky Sickman, who was held during the Iranian hostage crisis for 444 days from 1979 through 1981. I remember opening up the Globe Democrat in the morning when I was in high school. Every day they would have how many days the crisis was going on, and we all knew about Rocky here in St. Louis. He has been the director of Anheuser-Busch accounts for Folds of Honor for a long time, but he had some really, really great thoughts on the hostages released from Gaza. Azra Nomani was here as well with her thoughts, so you can always use the rewind function. Go back to the 3 o'clock hour. We had Jamie Reed on, too, last hour, and some really interesting stuff about what John Oliver said about Barry Weiss, et cetera, which was a bunch of nonsense. So I would encourage you to listen to that as well. But speaking of media nonsense, we can easily segue into Tim Graham, executive editor for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. Tim, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
Did you follow any of that John Oliver stuff with Jamie Reed, our whistleblower here in St. Louis? Did you catch any of that?
No, but, you know, for John Oliver to lecture anybody else, like, well, you can't trust an opinion journalist. I'm
right.
Like, yeah, okay, pal. You know, and obviously the comedy in that, the unintentional comedy, is 60 Minutes is an opinion show. Sunday Morning is an opinion show. They're loaded with opinions. They're not trying to give you an objective story.
You know, this is interesting. Let me get your thoughts on this. And I haven't talked about this yet today. So I sometimes I'm embarrassed to say this, okay? But I went to the University of Missouri Journalism School. So I have a journalism degree. I was a news director and I was a reporter and all these things. And I worked in television news and radio news. This goes back to the 1980s. There was a guy, and I liked him, by the way. I was there the first day that he ever, you know, came into the newsroom at KOMU. So at Mizzou, Tim, we had a NBC affiliate. They still do, where you kind of do your, you know, you cut your teeth and the best thing is you do the cut-ins during the Today Show, and it's just pure comedy gold watching, you know, 20-year-old kids trying to anchor a newscast at 7:20 in the morning during the cut-ins for the Today Show because we're all terrible. But I bring it up because Stacey posted something, and you know, we've been in this this situation where people are trying to come up with apps to alert you when ICE is in the vicinity. So he puts a post up that says, and he's kind of a adjunct. He's not at Mizzou anymore, but he writes on Substack. Yes, we should be reporting the location of federal agents in our communities. Politicians criticize the Memphis TV station for asking viewers to report where federal authorities are operating in the city, but that's exactly the role we should be playing. So he's making the case that that's what journalists should be doing, which is kind of shocking to me that that's something that modern journalism is advocating for.
Let's face it, these people think that deportation is evil. They think law enforcement, when it comes to the border, is evil. They compare it to authoritarianism. And, you know, obviously these people were very much in favor of Biden's bust them in, fly them in, let them in policies. And then everything that resulted from the enormous cost of housing and feeding illegal immigrants to dealing with the crimes they committed. Well, you couldn't blame any of that on Biden or the Democrats. But, you know, now we're, you know, the sky is falling. Authoritarianism is creeping because they're actually following through on what the people voted for, which was to enforce the border.
And it's baffling and encouraging, maybe I should use that word encouraging, that many of these Democrats still don't get that. Now, they want to focus on, you know, and sure, have there been some people that have been swept up that should not have been? There have been. I think they've been released, though, because then they've been vetted. But the way that they make these, you know, these incidents out to be, to your point, Tim, completely ignoring the millions of people that streamed across the border, they have no credibility when they tell us these stories because they didn't tell us the first part of the story. So it's utterly ridiculous.
I was, you know, I've obviously been engaged in media bias going back to 1989, but I did a study in 2006, back when George W. Bush was president, and it really opened my eyes because the news media see themselves as an advocacy group for illegal immigrants. So the narrative is always this story of Enrique out of the shadows.
Well, they're advocacy groups for pretty much every identity politics issue, right? They're advocacy. Yeah. I had an anchor here at the NBC affiliate, Michelle Lee, who told me in a tweet before she blocked me that she is an advocate and an outspoken one for the LGBTQI plus community, to which my response is, well, how can you fairly report on, you know, I just had Jamie Reed on, I mentioned, how can you fairly report on issues related to the WashU gender-affirming care situation or anything else related to Alphabet Mafia stories if you're an advocate for those? But they probably say that. There's no, you know, they're not embarrassed by that. They double down on all these things because that's what they think the role of journalism is in society these days.
Yes, and I think that's exactly what we've been trying to say, which is, the old school was you presented both sides of a public issue. And obviously what we've gone into in the last several decades is you can't disagree on LGBTQ. You can't disagree with us on climate.
Climate, right,
and,
yeah.
You know, they don't allow an opposing point of view. So, for example, you know, even if you were pro-LGB, then the T is like, look, as a journalist who's supposed to be able to report on facts, why on earth would you use a bizarro term like gender-affirming care to amputate genitals and breasts? I mean, you've lost everyone. You're not facts first.
It's unreal. It really is. And then, and you know, that's still with the John Oliver thing. He lied so much about what happened in the aftermath of that. That's where people get their news, unfortunately. That's where their news sources. So am I to understand, by the way, that CNN is holding a special shutdown town hall forum hosted by Caitlin Collins tomorrow night, and Bernie Sanders and AOC are going to be featured? That's the best they can do?
Well, here's the fascinating part. They announced this days ago, which was basically like, we're going to have a shutdown town hall with some democratic socialists. And what that means is this is certainly not getting solved anytime soon because they got to have their shutdown spotlight. But here's what we'll be looking for. And that is Caitlin Collins had a town hall that was incredibly controversial with Donald Trump, which basically sort of ended this experiment with Chris Licht running CNN, because you couldn't possibly interview Donald Trump. And Caitlin Collins didn't so much question him as constantly interrupt and badger and fight with him. And I think we're going to be able to guess that when Caitlin Collins is holding a mic and interviewing Bernie Sanders and AOC, she's not going to be interrupting them every 15 seconds.
No. No, she won't. And that, you know, that's how this illustration of bias, you know, really becomes very obvious. But even in that situation, most of the legacy media won't acknowledge that. Do you have, what kind of hopes do you have? Let me go back to Barry Weiss, because this is a consistent question I'm asking a lot of the guests here, because I have hopes that maybe some of the landscape might be in a better situation once Barry gets, you know, some changes made at CBS News. On the other hand, Tim, as you know, it's these young journalism students that are coming out of colleges like my alma mater who have been brainwashed, indoctrinated, and they're the ones that are proudly making these decisions about what qualifies as news and what doesn't. So to have a wider impact, and we have people that have been at, you know, legendary shows like 60 Minutes and CBS This Morning and CBS Sunday Morning, they're not just going to bend over. They're going to try to make themselves a spectacle and fight some of these things moving forward. Now, I'm curious about your thoughts on that, because I'd like to see a little bit more of the leveling of the field. Maybe that's just too hopeful.
Well, remember, I mean, this was sort of the end of Barry Weiss at the New York Times, where the young people right out of J school were like, you can't publish a Republican senator advocating putting National Guard troops in a violent situation.
Yeah, that was
that
Tom Cotton.
That was beyond the pale.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I think that, look, her internal memo that we all heard about had several, like, things that they couldn't possibly tolerate in number 6 and 7. We're going to hold both parties equally accountable. That's a complete non-starter inside the current CBS. And we're going to have a diversity of points of view. Also, a non-starter at CBS.
So, I mean, do you think one person in the CBS News division, and I have a former friend, he won't talk to me anymore, who's a pretty big wig at CBS, but I'd be shocked if even, you know, a handful or a couple of people voted for Trump or sided with the conservatives on anything.
No, I think in most cases, you will find there's nobody in these newsrooms that's a Republican. You know, remember, when Uri Berliner wrote his expose about National Public Radio and the newsroom there in Washington, he said, I went to the D.C. voter registration office and found in our newsroom 87 Democrats and 0 Republicans. And the response to that was several NPR people announcing, well, I registered as an independent.
Right. Yeah, that's the best.
Okay, but I hear you on air and you sound like a Democrat to me.
Exactly.
So, we know there are, that's the whole problem, is there are 0 Republicans. And Barry Weiss in this case becomes, at least in their mind, oh no, the one Republican who's going to actually say, guys, I think there's an alternative point of view you should consider. And they're like, no!
Yeah,
they're
because
just not willing.
They are not interested in viewpoint diversity. They're, you know, interested in every other diversity except for viewpoint diversity. That's why, you know, she may face bigger challenges than some of us are hoping for. Tim Graham is here. He's the executive editor for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. What have you thought about the coverage, and some of this obviously is in real time right now, of the Middle East peace deal? We've had some non-traditional outlets who have heaped some praise on President Trump, lo and behold.
Well, I think that on a day when you're seeing these visuals of hostages who've been through hell for 2 years being reunited with their families, you just can't possibly find the negative in that. You know, we find with President Trump, even with candidate Trump in 2015, the coverage of him on the evening news was 88% negative, 90% negative, 92% negative. Last night it wasn't, because you just can't take an occasion like that and say, well, we think the president still stinks on this issue. You know, it's just, it was a really bad night for them to try to do that. And I think, you know, for the most part last night, they acknowledged that Trump had caused something dramatic. And then some of them, like Mary Bruce at ABC, were trying to say, well, but it's all going to go bad eventually. Okay, maybe.
It could. We've all been around long enough to know that these things, you know, blow up. But still, let's focus on the achievement, because there's more being done here in the last couple of days than have been done in a long time when it comes to succeeding, or at least having a shot at succeeding in the Middle East between Israel and Gaza. I'm still somewhat skeptical about all this playing out the way it's supposed to. But still, you know, that's the story of yesterday was the release of the hostages, and I think some hope here for that region, which we haven't had in a while.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and of course, the president's doing things in an unorthodox way. And, you know, the funniest part about all of this is they have constantly suggested in both of his terms that he's basically unqualified to be president, that he doesn't have the skill set. They're going to really try to tell us that Joe Biden had a skill set when he was president, where, I mean, I think he had a senile set. But, you know, what did they accomplish? You know,
nothing.
October 7th happened on their watch.
Yeah.
The invasion of Ukraine happened on their watch, and they're the geniuses.
Hey, Tim, we did get the Inflation Reduction Act. We got that out of the administration, and we know where that took us. Tim Graham with the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. Always great to have one of you guys on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, take care. That's a great question, though. You know, that's the thing that really annoys me maybe more than anything else about the immigration issue is that, you know, they want to focus on ICE and what's happening in these communities. They want to tell all the stories about the illegals, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out very well. David Strom at hotair.com had a great story today because, and this is where the media needs to be kept in check by folks like Tim and our friend Curtis Houck, because you have stories that probably would not get out there, right? So let me see here. Dave's, we might have him on tomorrow. The headline of this one on hotair.com is you hear the sob story, but not the backstory. So you had a 13-year-old. This was the story that the media tried to pitch. A 13-year-old boy was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in Everett, Virginia, after an interaction with members of the Everett Police Department, sent to juvenile detention facility in Virginia, according to his mother and immigration lawyer Andrew Lacharulu. The boy's mother, Josie Berto, was called to pick up her son from the police department on Thursday, the day he was arrested. After waiting about an hour and a half, she was told her son was taken by ICE, Berto told the Globe in a Globe interview. So this is one of the tweets from someone who was following this situation. He is 13, a seventh grader with a pending asylum case, being held more than 500 miles from home and housed with adults. He called his mom crying and reported that he's sleeping on concrete with an aluminum blanket. How is this anything other than sick and shameful? Boston Globe story, right? Well, it sounds rather cruel, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like something that should happen. However, there's a lot of reporting that didn't get out there. Turns out that the kid was young, but he wasn't innocent. He was arrested with a gun and a large knife. He had a long rap sheet, even though he was 13 years old. And of course, the Boston Globe frames the story in the most incendiary way possible. This is what the Post-Dispatch does all the time. They omit the facts about the young man that are pretty relevant. He's violent. He's carrying a firearm, right, at the time. Doesn't look like he was hunting pheasants with his firearm. So when then the lefties get confronted by the facts, they get all huffy and they act like the stories that he reads includes those facts. So somebody says, important context from Trisha, Ohio, that I'm posting in the interest of fairness. I do not automatically trust it given that she's made multiple inaccurate claims in the past. But this other person says, here are the facts. He posed a public safety threat with an extensive rap sheet, including violent assault with a dangerous weapon, battery breaking down and entering, destruction of property. He was in possession of a firearm and a 5 to 7 inch knife when he was arrested. And they want to make him, again, a poster child, just like the Maryland father. Everyone's going to sympathize with a mother crying for a child, right? It's certainly heartbreaking, but there is more to the story. And I've made this case before, and I think Tim and Curtis from Newsbusters have too. There's the journalistic malpractice by omission. You can do that whole story about that kid, and it's sad, but you omit the problem about the violence and the rap sheet and that he had a gun
right.
and a knife. That seems relevant to me, at least slightly.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.